So now this is a story all about how my taste buds got flipped, turned upside down. I'd like to take a minute, just sit right there, and I'll tell you how I became obsessed with craft beer. In Hawke's Bay, New Zealand, born and raised on the rugby fields, I spent most of my days hanging out at Macca's and eating KFC, started drinking beer when I was just 17. I drank lots of tui, and I thought it was good. It was all we ever had in our neighbourhood. I drank one too many spates, my liver got scared. It said, big fella, you're killing me. I need some good beer. I came to Australia, and when I got here, Crown Lager was being sold from a fridge in the rear. If anything, I can say Gold Label is rare, but I thought, nah, forget it. I need some good beer. I pulled up to the bar and ordered an IPA. I yelled to the bartender, yo, Forex, smell you later. I looked at my schooner. I was finally here and started talking on the mic as the Fresh Prince of Craft Beer.
Oh, man, that's oi, mate. That was brilliant.
Do you know, I'm partly embarrassed for you, but also really proud of you.
You just whipped that up. Did you just whip that up while I was sitting here?
No, I was. I kind of wrote the. I've been trying to write it for a while. And then after a few beers last night, I got the how to finish it. The intro I've had written for ages, but I haven't been able to finish it.
Yeah, right.
And I kind of finished writing that
mate,
one this morning.
Need that snippet. Just...
Yeah. Hello, you. It's time once again to pour one out with the Pouring Old Man. This is episode 37 of the Pouring Old Man podcast. My name is Russell. I am one of your hosts. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a rare treat for you on this episode. For the first time in Pouring Old Man history, we've got a full deck of old men around the microphone. We have the Ace of Spades, Anthony Pitt.
Hey, mate. How's it going?
Good, mate. The King of Hearts, Warren Crawford.
Hey, how's it going?
And the Joker that needs to be dealt with is Chris from next door.
Living legend.
Gentlemen, welcome. Good to have you all in the one room.
It's a bit strange, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a bit crowded.
Yeah.
there had been a rumour that Chris and Pity were the same person.
Yes.
Nighttime turns into Chris, daytime is Anthony. But yeah, we can put those rumours to bed.
Yeah. The other rumour was that Anthony and I had a bit of a dispute. We were not recording at the same time.
There you go.
I love a good scandal.
Yeah. We should have kept that going for a little bit longer.
Don't worry, by the end of the episode, I'll piss you off and we'll start again.
Yeah, that's it. We'll play it out for the audience.
So as hinted on the last episode, this is a Kiwi Beer special. I had a trip recently to New Zealand. I'll get into that in a bit. Brought some souvenirs back for us. But first, who are we? We are the Pouring Old Man. Just a few... Got a heckey sitting around the hungy pit talking about the beer we love. We release fresh episodes of the show into the wild every Tuesday morning on all your favourite podcast services. If you like what you hear, be sure to leave us a like, a rating, a review, and tell your friends and share the love. You can also follow the Pouring Old Men on Facebook and Instagram. Plus, you can find Pouring Old Russ, Pouring Old Pity, and Pouring Old Was It on Instagram, where you can catch even more of our views and reviews and beers that don't make it to the show.
Great.
Sounds good.
You are smooth on that.
Like, mate, you're the best storyteller I've ever heard. Seriously, you're so creative. So creative.
I'm tempted to do my Kiwi accent, but I know how much you hate it. So.
it's more when professional news organisations start doing it.
I wouldn't call us that yet.
No. my job wouldn't call the project that either. Just a bunch of comedians talking shit to them.
Well, let's get our news from the comedian. He must know what he's talking about.
And not well. Yeah. Hey, let's be comedians and be controversial at the same time.
Yeah.
Or we could just be a bunch of gorillas on DMT.
Well, you've already got a head start on us.
I have a couple of beers.
Yeah, all right, cool. That's right. All right, so before we get too far ahead, lads, what have you been drinking?
Well, I had a bit of a revel-a-thon the other day.
Oh, so been reveling in good beer.
Yes, it was just... random when I walked into the local Star Liquor and they actually had a whole bunch of new stuff from Rebel Brewing.
Who even knows that? Like Star Liquor, it does sound like a euphemism for some dirty porn act.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's an Instagram page called Star Liquor.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Not what you expect.
Yeah, and that's what I thought.
What the fuck are you into?
I'm tempted to start searching this right now.
I don't want to go nowhere near Wars' phone.
Yeah. It might be under Brown Star Liquor or something like that. Is there a Star Liquor in Browns Plains?
No, there isn't.
No.
Nah, unfortunately.
I got that.
Oh, anyway,
I think we're not getting them as a sponsor anytime soon.
Bugger.
They've got their liquor license.
Well, she'll be going to be here all day.
Yeah.
What's the old one? Poker in the front, liquor in the rear.
What the fuck?
Yeah, the poker's at the front and the bottle's up at the back. So, yeah.
Yeah, that one's very old.
Yeah.
I remember that when we were.
That's
trying to.
back when we couldn't grow facial hair properly.
Yeah, that's it.
That was about 4 years ago for me.
So Revel, I tried their raspberry and pineapple sour ale.
Yes.
Another one that tasted like medicine. Yeah.
Nice. What are you going to learn?
Yeah.
And you're the sour drinker, so that's surprising.
Weirdly, I'm finding unless it is a really exceptional sour, I'm not enjoying it.
Yep.
I tried their lemonade sour as well.
Yeah.
Just tasted like, you know when Solo released their Bitter Lemon? Solo rebranded and did a Bitter Lemon version. That's what it tasted like. And I'm like, okay. Yeah, that was a bit of a disappointment.
Yeah.
Mm. But I did grab their Dark Knights collab.
Is that the espresso martini? Yes.
That was actually enjoyable.
Yeah, that was quite good, actually.
Yeah, so that was the saving grace of the night.
I had that one as well. And my only thing is now, I've had too many other espresso martini style beers. It's kind of been done and dusted. Everyone's doing one now. It's like, okay, move on.
I had to follow Little Creatures one as well.
Yes, exactly right. Yeah. That one just had a bit more sort of like sweetness to the bitterness to it, which kind of made it stand out. Whereas
the Revel one was definitely coffee based.
It's definitely a black coffee, not just.
So that was it. Mm. And for someone that doesn't drink coffee, doesn't like coffee, I still enjoyed the beer. So it was just enough. And as it warmed up, it did start to change. There was a bit more of that sort of coffee flavors coming through it. So. Yep. If you do like coffee, leave it for a little bit. So that was good. I also had my first Brutal Brewing beers.
Ah, yes.
So I haven't had those before. So I tried their Old School IPA.
Yep.
Piney dank. It was Old School IPA, which is good. And also tried their very original Bloody Good Stout.
Yes.
And it was Bloody Good Stout. It was simple, excellent. nothing special. It was just a thick stout, so was impressed.
I'm looking forward to when though a bit more widespread throughout Brisbane. Like they seems like the very niche bottle shops they're at the moment, like My Beer Dealer and all these ones.
Yeah.
Whereas like you know the more sort of like widespread ones like you know Star Liquor and all that. Yeah. I'm not going to say Star Liquor again without having a little smile.
Yeah. Liquor Legends.
Liquor Legends. Yeah, let's go.
That doesn't help.
I'm waiting for them to get a bit more reach. I was going to say a bit more reach around.
It is the struggle. Well, to help you out, I found
you got to help him out.
Hey, that's what friends are for.
Yeah, mate. That's it.
I'm going home. See you, boys.
Well, you got to sneak a peek over the fence. And...
in true neighbour fashion.
You're doing it wrong.
What?
Go slower, Russ. Sorry.
I'm just saying, tickle the balls.
What's it, you want to swap?
With what?
It's unusual for him to be the quietest one in these conversations.
No, mine was, my shit was going to get us kicked off the podcast. Right? You know, it's like I'm constant escalation until people tell me to leave. Like, no, too far, dude. Go home.
Crossed the line. Found Brutal Brewing at Netherworld.
Excellent.
So it was on tap there. So
you were there last week, yeah?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Unfortunately, bloody COVID and all the arcade machines weren't allowed to be used. So rocked up thinking they'd get to have a great night. Sat down and went, good beer.
What else to do there?
That was it. So
what can you do? Just drink.
Yeah, pretty much.
Could you play the board games? I know they've got a good selection there, but
yeah.
What's the difference?
So
board game, arcade game. Easier to maintain and clean.
Well,
that was what surprised me that they didn't have like a lot of places every half hour they had someone basically have someone basically start at the front, work their way around by the time they got to the end of the bloody bar, start.
And what's different from the arcade games and poker machines in every pub room place. If I'm allowed to run pokies in my gaming room, why can't they have the arcade machines? Yeah, put some wipes in place, put some cleaning processes in place. There you go.
I'll tell you why. Because arcade games don't pay taxes.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's true too.
Yes.
All you need is a few Wallabies or NRL players to play, then they'll be fine.
Yeah.
But good beer.
Yeah.
Had some of their food, which was actually pretty good too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Might have been.
What was it like? Just. Oh, it was vegetarian.
Yeah, so...
You know, they do meat.
Yeah, they do meat stuff. Do so their standard menu is all vegetarian.
That's right, it was too. Yeah,
to add meat to it. Yep. So, but had vegetarian nuggets, which were actually really good.
Hmm.
And then cauliflower wings. Yeah, so... Yeah.
I've tried them before. They're
buffalo
actually...
and ranch, and they were really actually pretty good. Tasty. Yeah, yeah. So... Yeah.
Damn, this week on Where's Pity?
Yeah.
And the good one that they do Netherworld as well, I might have mentioned in the show before, they do what's called Little Monsters once every 2 months. Mm. They open up on a Sunday morning,
yeah.
And you take your kids along to play the arcade machines in there.
Yes.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Big menu to organise one of those, yeah.
Nothing better than a Sunday morning beer, really.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Technically, that's what we're doing now.
All right.
Chris? I'll go last.
Okay. No, I'll go last.
I mean, you know what I mean.
I'll go now.
Don't fight, lads. Don't fight.
Not much for me. After you spoke about it the other day, I went home and tried the Tinny's Hot Craft Bun Ale.
Yes.
Because it was $12 for a 4-pack.
Yeah.
And it was good.
Yeah.
Like, it was really tasty. Mm. I mean, for a $12 4-pack, it was a really good beer.
Especially a $12 4-pack of experimental beer.
Yeah. 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 So it... I got like that the cinnamon and ginger that came through right at the end. It was kind of like it reminded me of spiced rum.
Yep.
And it was just a good. It was quite crisp, but it was refreshing. Wasn't overbearing. But yeah, it was quite good. The other one I tried is the Bent Spoke Red Nut.
Yes.
Because I was gonna buy a beer that I've drank 1,000 times before and decided to try something different. And not bad for a red.
Yeah.
Like it's. Had a lot of that flavor profile there that I enjoy. I think I'm used to like a big, bold, full of flavor red. So I was probably a little bit let down there. But that was purely expectations, not delivery.
How does it hold up? Aussie is one of those beers you can pick up on first choice. It's readily available. How does it hold up? And the other ones you get there, you got the... it's the Fox Hat Red.
Yep.
And then also the Brick Lane Red. How does it hold up against those?
Probably similar to the Brick Lane.
Mm.
Potentially a little better.
Yep.
But it, probably not as good as the... Was it Twin Palms or whatever it's called?
Lost Palms.
Lost
Dark
Palms.
Red, yeah.
Yeah, that was quite good.
Yeah.
Fox Hat is probably still my favourite.
Mm-hmm.
Not because it necessarily delivers the best flavour profile overall, but it is bold and punchy. And it's really... It's the beer that I buy just to go, I just need a lot of flavour.
Yeah.
But that's my personal preference. So I'd probably say it sits about third, but not a bad third.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah, that's all for me.
Cool.
All right. Well, I had a Bent Spoke Extra Belgian Ale.
Ah, yeah. How was that?
Yeah, it was very... It's interesting. I've never had just a Belgian Ale that's not... It doesn't have Imperial in front of it and it's not... dark. So it was interesting. I found similar characteristics, but I couldn't really pinpoint what it was, if that makes sense. Like it's not a XPA, it's not a parallel, etc. etc. But really easy to drink.
Yeah.
Is it like a... I mean, this is my very, very serious lack of understanding, but is it like a wheat beer? Is it like a Hoegaarden or similar?
Good question. That's the thing that I sort of hung on. I felt it's very similar to like a very pale Dunkel.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it is like a wheat beer, but it was... It didn't have that sort of toffee, banana-y sort of biscuit characteristic. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was more that with a bit of hoppy sort of finish.
Yeah.
I've had one and it sort of, it reminded me, it almost had like a stewed pear sort of...
That could be it.
...flavor to it.
It's a thing you can't really put your finger on.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, it wasn't quite, going down your Hoegaarden way. More fruity flavor, but there's something there.
Yeah.
And pear was the only thing I could sort of... bring to mind.
It was like dull, sharp, and smooth all in the one thing. Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay.
That's that one. And the other, there's a bit of a story behind this one too. It's kind of funny. Garage Project Snug. Nitro Irish Stout. All right. If I was going to rate something a 10, that's basically the definition of it.
Mm.
Yeah.
And the reason being is because it is... if you open up a dictionary and you looked at Irish Stout, that should be replaced Guinness.
Mm.
It was perfect.
Yeah. They've out, as I said last night, they've out Guinness with it.
Yeah, out Guinness with it. Yeah.
Well, especially in terms of the Guinness you get over here.
Yeah. So, we can't be comparison to European stuff.
So in comparison to the maple coffee stout that we had the other day from Bacchus.
Good argument here.
and is it a very different style? Or,
correct.
And it's good in their own rights, or is it
a comparison? You get stouts, and then once you put an Imperial in front of it, it becomes thick, it becomes rich. It's not that crisp, dry...
It changes it.
It's funny how imperialism has that effect on things.
We call it Vadering it. Anyway, it's funny you say that. Mm. It's not that I don't like adjunct beers or beers that were been added with a bunch of shit to make it taste something that it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. But that maple coffee one we talked about last week, that was great. Yep. I enjoyed that. Mm. But this was... It reminded me when I had my first Guinness, and even pouring it to the layering of the head. Now the nitro filtered through. I don't know. There was like this nostalgic effect where I was like, "Wow, this brings back memories."
That's when you know it's a good beer where it just triggers something else.
And I remember I took my first mouthful and I just went to Russ and went, "This is great." Yeah. And he goes, "How is it?" And I said, "Best part about it, I'm still drinking through the head." It was just. Perfect.
Yeah, that's what I found. The nitro in it is just exceptional. Yeah. It's the best nitro I've seen in the beer.
Yeah, 100%.
It's 100%. Absolutely fantastic.
What about against Old Greg?
Different again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's kind of like
the dogs that win best in show. Mm-hmm. They're not necessarily the nicest dog. The most flamboyant dogs. They're just the dictionary definition of what that breed should be, and that's what Snug is. It's the dictionary definition. Of what a dry Irish stout should be.
Because and they're both very different.
Yeah.
Beers, I think, like a Russian Imperial Stout or an Irish dry Irish stout. Different. Very different experience.
Yeah.
Well, that brings me to the next part of the story. I normally stay away from beer sites or barbecue sites and just the pretentiousness of humans that can be on it. Yeah, the trollers and the toxic humans. Yeah.
Yeah, anything on the internet.
I felt no one's ever posted a picture of Snug Up.
No.
Well, not that I've seen. And I thought, you know what? This is going to be new. And it is coming to Australian shores soon.
Yeah.
Which I found out. I put it on this certain Brisbane site.
Yep.
Saying, basically, how good is it? Tell me I'm wrong. And if I'm wrong, point me in a direction or something that's better.
Yeah.
Well, it was very for and against, but there's an occasional person that wants to throw up a pastry shout and say, "Oh, pastry shouts are amazing." You know what I mean?
Like, and they are, but they're different.
Yeah,
they're not an Irish stout. Anyway, this one guy goes, "Yes, you are wrong. These beers, blah, 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 are all better in my opinion." All those beers, and he had a photo attached to it, were Imperials, which again, it's chalk and cheese.
Yeah.
Anyway, and he had a picture of a Bacchus banana porter, which I was led to believe, which again is
it's
not a stout.
I wrote
this massive rant and I'm going, "Russell, check this fucker out." And I had this massive spiel and I'm like, "Post." And then Russell goes, "It's Banana Foster and it's a stout that he posted."
Where it said Banana Foster Imperial Stout, you thought was a Banana Imperial Porter. So, no, it says Foster Chris.
A port! Deleted this and I went, "Okay, thanks, mate."
That's where you should have just committed and gone, "Fuck it, I'm going all in." This keyboard warrior, take this, mate.
Oh. But the point was still kind of correct.
Right? Yeah,
the point's valid.
Like a banana, whatever, is still not a dry Irish stout.
No, exactly right. Yeah. But there was other people that sort of come to my rescue that I don't even know that just says that's not what he's saying. That's just added flavour, making something that's probably a hot.
It's just creating a different beer experience to what
you've added topping to your Irish stout, and you're trying to compare it.
Yeah,
and you've got a shandy for an Irish stout.
If you had just said best stout. And then added a full stop.
Yes, correct.
go all in with the argument. Yeah, yeah. Then they're 100% right. But the fact that you went specific, put your head in.
It's like, this is the best ice cream going around. Someone goes, no, it's not. And they pull out a full ice cream sundae with whipped cream and all the fruit and all the garnish. Yeah, this is a bit of ice cream. Yeah. So, no, the ice cream's still ice cream. You just put a bunch of other shit on top.
Yeah. So, yeah. They're like, yeah, no, this is the best ice cream. Yeah, you're like,
fair enough.
That's
it's sorbet. Hard to read.
That's frozen yogurt and it's crap.
I call it Froget.
Anyway, so the back of my argument of it, like, and another person come out and again, just...
This was a particular bunch of landowners that enjoy beer based in Brisbane, correct?
Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes. Yeah. And another person decided to say that it was basically, meh, it's mediocre, and spammed a bunch of stuff owned by Lion and a few other random ones. The 10 he posted, 7 of them were Imperials, 3 were actually stouts, and 3 of them were actually terrible stouts.
Like 2 years old. Not that that's a bad thing.
Hey, I won't stand here quietly and let you bag on 2 years old. Thank you very much.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It's not different.
They're mediocre. And like, who goes out of time to name 10 beers to say that these 10 beers are better than that?
People with a lot of time on their hands.
Yeah, which is ridiculous. Like, if you truly appreciated the stout, again,
it's internet people.
Yeah,
100%. It's an internet person.
So, yeah. Everyone wants their opinion to be heard, and they want to shout it out rather than, hey, that's I really like your opinion. This is my opinion. That
100%.
Yeah.
Or the simple thing would have been, great, haven't tried it, or yeah, I did. I didn't enjoy it as much.
Yeah.
But have you tried this one? And at least gone back and gone, hey, mate, have you tried this one? What's your comparison? And then you can go back and go, no, I haven't tried that. Thanks for the recommendation. Or I didn't like it as much. Mm. So it's a conversation.
The thing is, like, beer is subjective.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's totally subjective.
I get that. And I appreciate that.
Yeah. But it's not a competition.
No, 100%. Yeah. And I know for the fact that you can't buy it in Australia. Mm. And these people probably don't even understand that.
Yeah. Online Garage Bro, you get it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But you can't actually go to a first shopping choice.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
I'm going to get this. And a lot of these people, they use the comparisons. That's all they've
done. Well, based on your recommendation, I've gone and seen my mortgage broker to see if I could remortgage the house so I can buy some stuff from Garage Project.
Yeah, exactly. But again, that just sort of goes on my pilgrimage to find the beer that tastes like beer.
Yeah.
And the difference is, too, if I now see that around, I'd go, I'll grab that and see what my thoughts are on it. Yeah.
But you'll see it. You'll see the clear characteristics.
Reminds me of the milk ad. Like, it's milk that tastes like real milk. With only 2% fat. And extra dollop, whatever that means.
Dollop.
Don't put your dollops in my beer, please.
We're going back there, aren't we?
Yeah.
Well, that's what it is. Lesson for the week. I will no longer post, or not that I do, on social media because it's just a cesspool.
Well, run it by me first, mate. I'll check the information.
But I think the thing you're missing here is you could do it in reverse, right? Because the whole thing about this is creating controversy.
Yeah.
You're either doing it because you're just like mad serious and want an argument, or because you like to shitster.
Yeah, true.
And there's a lot of fun to be had in just shitster. So you can just turn this around and now just keep an eye out for those people's posts and just go, no, your banana stout's crap. It's not the best stout I've ever had. Have you tried this lager?
But the hilarious part is it sort of got under my skin that much. I basically wrote a thesis to smoke this guy.
Which he's probably sitting there giggling away into his beer going, sucker, I got him.
I don't even understand half these words. Anyway, that's my beer of the week. So.
Nice.
Cool.
This has gone a long time.
Yeah.
Russ, what have you been drinking?
Whoa, sit back, folks. This could take a while. The one I want to mention first is the one you gave me the other day, the Dark Harvest
for
Brewers. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic beer. That is, thank you for that. And Chris had a wee sample of it. Didn't give him too much because I liked it.
He slapped me, mum.
No.
It's really hot forward. You don't initially pick up that it's a dark beer.
No, exactly right. Yeah, it's very fruity for a dark beer. No, yeah, really enjoyable. So, no.
Yeah.
It's like a kaleidoscope, isn't it? It just fucks with your head.
Thoughts versus the hop harvest?
I probably prefer it to the hot harvest, actually. It's close. Like, they're not saying it's not much in it, but yeah, probably like the dark harvest more. It's just got a little bit extra something special there. So,
and that was kind of my feeling with it as well. Yeah.
So for the rest of what I've been drinking, I'm jumping across the Tasman. I recently went over to New Zealand, which turned out to be an extremely well-timed trip. I flew back to the country about 3 or 4 days before they shut the border. So thank Christ.
Was it like hours before that Brisbane lockdown?
No, it was a few days. So, I arrived back on the Tuesday and the Saturday they shut the borders. So, well,
yeah, Ross brought it back with him.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I might have had a bit of a sore throat on the plane. Don't tell anyone.
He's the outbreak.
He's the past 14 days.
Yeah,
hours,
exactly. So I went through and exploring some good Kiwi beers while I was over there. So I'll run through some of them. Oh, right.
It's scary when he's got to bring up the spreadsheet.
Yeah, exactly. So my main aim over there, and the beers we'll have later as well, I was trying to avoid all stuff where we can get over here, because what's the point?
Yeah.
But, I mean, you can't go to New Zealand and drink beer without having a couple of garage projects.
Yeah.
So one of the ones I have was the Snug, we were just talking about before. I had it over there. It's funny, when I first had it over there, I thought, oh, that's quite nice, enjoyable. Didn't think anything more of it. It wasn't until I saw it coming out to Australia, and I thought about, actually, you know what? That actually was a really good beer. Yeah. So I kind of sort of took it for granted how enjoyable that was.
Yeah.
One of the first beers I had was also Gareth Project. It was almost one of the best beers I had over there. So I started up high. It was the Gareth Project with Monkish Brewing Escape from LA Hazy IPA.
Yes.
And that is a wonderful beer.
So it wasn't just another hazy.
Not just another hazy, no. It was silky smooth. Just that, like, that big sort of mouthfeel with passion fruit and mango and stuff.
Monkish have great reputation as well.
And that was done. I got a kick because, there's a supermarket beer as well. But supermarket beer.
That's a cool thing.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, we live in Queensland. That shit actually happens.
It happens elsewhere. And
2 hours down the road.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then the other gas fridge one I mentioned was an old friend of mine, the old pickle beer.
Yes.
I'm gonna get one for you at some point.
Pickles belong on burgers, not beers.
Interesting one I had against another hazy IPA. It's called Some Sorcery Hazy IPA. It was a collab between Behemoth Brewing and Heart of Darkness Brewing in Vietnam. They've got a range of, the team with other different Southeast Asian breweries, and are doing these little collab beers around there.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because, with the Southeast Asian beers, I haven't heard any great things about them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's interesting that someone sort of gravitated towards that to incorporate.
And this beer was fantastic. Really good. Also, the can art was quite exceptional as well. It's very being harder, called Heart of Darkness Brewing. They had black base and had almost like a swamp scene with a shadowy creature going in the background and a little skulls worked into the scenery as well. It was really cool. Oh,
nice.
It's kind of cool. Can't enough that one. It's just full of big sort of fruit cocktail flavors and peach and passion fruit and a lot of banana flavor coming through. It's really enjoyable. Nearly got on the plane back over here, but didn't quite make the journey. So there was a few like that. As I say, when I flew over to New Zealand, my bag weighed in, it was probably about 10 or 11 kilos or something. When I was coming back, it was weighed in about 18 or 19 kilos.
And so, your pocket's full of stuff.
What's that jacket?
Ding, ding, ding. The way the tax system is in New Zealand, you don't have the excise on alcohol like you do in Australia.
No.
So they're not, putting beers in increasingly smaller cans, not as often anyway. So a lot of the time, the beers, and you'll see when I grab them, I've got a 500ml bottle in there, it's a 400ml bottle or something else. They're all quite large serves of of stubbies there. So
beer should be.
Yeah.
That's how adults drink beer.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, it comes in pints.
How the rest of the world drinks, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I love being over in Europe, because when you go out to a cafe, they're like, what are you having? I'm like, I'll have a beer. And they're like, small or large? And I'm like, I'll put my hand up, I'll go, and they go, no, large, you're a man. Yeah. They bring out like a 1 liter stein of beer.
The best.
I'm like, you know me.
I made the mistake once of asking for a small because I was hungover. Yeah. The guy brought a large out and went, you're a man. Lovely. And that was all he said. That was the only English he gave me.
You're a man. It's funny.
Drinking.
It's funny. You are the smallest out of all of us.
And that was after a very large night. So,
I went to an internet cafe in Germany while I was over there, and like, shows how long ago it was that internet cafes were a still thing. But I was in Germany before the Euro was there. So I went there. I'll just grab a beer, grab one of those beers. And I was forgetting Germany. You know, you plonk down this like massive like Steiner, sat down the computer, right on to my mum. Emails to my mum. This is going to be a journey of an email. Dear mum, it's the right place. The papers are so early. I fucking love you, mum.
it's so concise and thoughtful. It's like a page of just S.
Wasn't there like a Simpsons episode where Homer's
dear, writing? Dear Marge.
I love you, Marge.
You've got a butt that won't quit. What? Fuck, fuck you.
Gosh, I hope you didn't tell your mum she's got a butt.
Well, I haven't lived in the same country since, so, you know. all right, back in New Zealand. So, a couple of stouts I have over there. One was from Castle's Brewing, which I believe is from Christchurch, I think. A New Zealand milk stout was called. It's covered with like gold medals on the side. Like, this is one of the best beer in the world in 2013, the best stout and this and all that. Very good reason why. It was exceptional. It was a milk stout, but then it was all the flavors you normally get from, you know, like your brouhaha milk stout and all that, just amplified a bit more and just more intense and really smooth. And the chocolatiness was really there and pronounced. Another one I had was from a good friend's Brave Brewing. I had their milk stout, and again, quite similar to the Castles, like just a clean, simple, honest milk stout, full of flavor. Again, it really reminded me of brouhaha. And in general, I'll get onto it later again, more I drink of Brave, the more they remind me of brouhaha brewing in their style, how they just pure, clean flavors, nothing, you know, silly like throwing, you know, adjuncts and stuff in there, just refined to the nth degree.
Good. Yeah. Brewing at its tradition. Yep. I like it.
Yep. I had a West Coast IPA from a place called Sunshine Brewing, which is from Gisborne, which is on the east coast of the North Island.
A West Coast IPA.
From the East Coast.
From the East Coast.
So it's East Coast, West Coast, yeah.
The wrong way there.
But yeah, it was just a clean, simple West Coast IPA, low in bitterness, a bit of fruitiness, and yeah, super refreshing. And
so how many of these breweries were on your New Zealand recommended? Or did you just skip all the ones that you're?
I pretty much skipped most of them, actually.
Good recommendations.
I saw the one I mentioned. I think Mai Tangi. I think it's called Bootleg Brewing. I was looking to stop off there on the way, so got from Auckland Airport, hopped in the car. All right, I'll go check out this place. Like, where is it? Oh, there it is. There. Oh, closed on Tuesdays. Well, that doesn't help. It's a Tuesday. It's like, damn it. And then all the ones in Auckland, because I was sort of heading south, all the ones in Auckland were north. I was like, well, I'm not doing a 2-hour round trip around Auckland plus getting lost. So the couple of Hawke's Bay ones there on the tour list, I had their beers. I went to one brewery.
So yeah, for any travel tips in New Zealand, don't
listen to Russell. Don't get a Russell bus.
just pretend I did that. That sounds cool.
That is pretty cool.
The other one I mentioned, Zalant Brewing, who were on my travel tour list. I had their Black Monk Schwarz beer, which is just a good, easy drinking dark ale.
Yep.
It's not as full of flavor as like stouts and stuff, so it's more again it's a dark lager style.
Yep.
Which it's hard having one of them when you've had quite a few dark heavy stouts, and so it kind of gets a bit sort of lost in the flavor. Yeah. It's still quite a nice sort of beer there. I did my best to try. You mentioned the Lake Man Brewing.
Yes.
What was it? The barley wine, was it? No.
Yeah, it was some.
Yeah, good. The only Lake Man beers I could find were they had this mix pack, which they called the Hairy Box, because their mascot is a Bigfoot creature.
Yeah, just, fair enough. Yeah. Fits with our style liquor conversations.
And they had different types of pale ales and XBAs and stuff. They're all fine, but they're just all very like. Simple, something spectacular there. That's kind of all the ones I wanted to mention that I had in New Zealand while I was tasting there. But as I said, I did bring some souvenirs back, so we're
excellent.
About 4 hours into recording, so we should probably crack some open. All right, so time for show and tell, and I've got a very special beer first up here. Again, all these beers are good Kiwi beers, and I've gone for beers that you just can't get over here. Because the normally smaller breweries, they don't have the distribution to get out of Australia. So, and this is one of my favourites, my favourite hometown breweries.
Or they've got a criminal record.
Something like that, yeah. the game related or something. So yeah, I might have a bit of affinity for this beer and the brewery. It's Brave Tiger Milk IPA. I'm currently wearing a Brave Tiger Milk IPA shirt.
Correct.
And I'm going to be drinking it from a Brave Tiger Milk IPA glass.
You have talked about this beer for 10 years?
A few years, the last 4 or 5 years.
I tried it. When was the last time?
Pre-COVID? Yeah, about 2 or 3 years ago, I think Chris had one. Yeah.
And I just went...
Yeah.
Mind you, I was in my cycle of trying the craziest of craziest shit.
Yeah.
And then he brought that over and I just went, fuck, that's...
Yeah.
That's
beer. And this place was the one actual brewery I got to while I was over there. And it's just really nice location as well. Like they've gone it's an old newspaper printing factory. And so the front office is all like exposed brick and stuff like that. Yeah. It's a nice wood bar top and all their pipes fall at the end of the beer and stuff like this bright yellow colour. It's just a really nice environment. Had a couple of nice beers there. Had a slam dunkel. Dunkel beer there was quite nice. Again, all the beers just very sort of simple, sort of smooth tasting sort of stuff.
Yep.
And to go along with as well, I started the beer snacks last week. I've made some good traditional kiwi dip.
Don't ask what's in it.
Yeah, well, it's a classic New Zealand recipe. The number one selling soup mix in New Zealand is Maggi onion soup.
Mm-hmm.
No one actually makes soup with it. They just make kiwi dip with it.
So, cool. I'm feeling brave.
Yeah. I'm fascinated by this. So
it's basically just French onion dip.
Okay.
He took a couple of goes at making it.
Had the wrong the can of stuff, so.
Just a note for listeners at home, always use fat only. No, what was it?
So Nestle reduced cream, not Nestle reduced fat cream. Slight Correct. Difference in flavour.
Yeah, slight difference in flavour. Yeah.
But yeah, if you go to any Kiwi barbecue or Christmas party, anything like that, there'll be at least a couple of bowls of that. Yeah, exactly.
Holy moly!
It's a Kiwi classic, mate.
Yeah, it's just a bit more flavours than your normal French
onion. I'm loving New Zealand at the moment. I really am. Lord of the Rings, what else have they done?
That's the extent of it, yeah.
Me?
Russell?
That's still the tourism push, isn't it?
Lord of the Rings?
Yeah.
Fuck, that's the only reason I want to go over there for.
All right.
Well, we may now have some other reasons.
Exactly right.
Let's crack into Brave Tiger Milk IPA. I've been looking forward to this.
A little too, actually.
Yeah, it looks pretty damn good.
Buckle up, boys.
That's quite clear.
That looks amazing.
It's been a while since I've had a crystal clear beer.
Yeah. Look at the head.
Yeah.
Light flossy.
So I kind of first discovered these guys. They randomly appeared in one of the New Zealand Gabs Hottest 100. So the Gabs Hottest 100 just dominated by Garage Project, Bohemia, stuff like that.
Mm. Yeah.
And then I was looking through the stats and said, oh, there's one beer from Hawke's Bay. I thought, there's a brewery in Hawke's Bay? And they're like 72 or something like that. And then again, last year, I think number 19 they got in New Zealand. So again, it's... Wow. They don't have huge distribution, but they're obviously making a bit of an impact.
Mm. It's that great IPA smell.
Yeah.
It's just
so good.
Yeah.
Man, just a big sort of fruity smell in there. Yeah. Just classic sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I haven't sipped it yet. I'm just enjoying the smell.
Oh, yeah. I love it. I absolutely love it. It's,
Yeah. When it's, again, it's that simple, but just.
Done really good.
Yeah.
It's what I found, like, in general, what I found in with New Zealand breweries is that, and going to New Zealand and having all these beers made me appreciate what we have in Brisbane and in Australia. Especially being in a regional place like Napier, like, you don't have access to, all the breweries throughout the country, so there's a very limited access to it, so...
Mm.
It might be different in Auckland, Wellington, whatever. But the beers that you get in Hawke's Bay from the breweries, all very... classic styles, they haven't been messed with, they haven't been had extra stuff. Then there's probably lacking that experimentation you get in Brisbane. And yes, I love going to the supermarket and getting these beers, but it wasn't the range you get from going to a specialized bottle shop in Brisbane,
where
you have 30 or 40 or 100 breweries within a stone's throw. So it's funny, I love the Kiwi beer and all that, but it did make me appreciate also what we have in Brisbane, how special. The craft beer environment is at the moment. It's pretty good time to be a beer lover around here. So,
yeah.
Would you say Southeast Queensland, particularly maybe Brisbane, is the beer capital of the world. Make a bold statement.
I don't know if I would.
Yeah.
Just because, Aussie, you got all of Melbourne with, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens of breweries down there.
Sydney
as well. I think just in general, like, you know, Australia is just very spoiled for choice for beer.
We just love beer.
Yeah.
But I know there's a big drive, particularly now that the tax changes with the breweries, that beer tourism is probably the next big thing that they're driving for. Yeah. For Brisbane, Southeast Queensland area. You want us to talk it to you?
You can't use sign language on a podcast, mate. It doesn't quite work.
It doesn't. I was appreciating the dip. All right. Good example is Magic Round happened for NRL.
Yep.
Okay. The Murdoch media pushed the fact that all the NRLs getting played in Brisbane come and watch NRL and visit their breweries. That was their marketing campaign for Magic Round.
And
I think if you have a look at the Gabs Hottest 100 from last year, this year, whenever it was, the last one we did, there is a significant proportion of the top breweries that are based in Southeast Queensland.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I think we are spoilt for choice here.
Yeah.
That being said, we're also in a bit of a secluded area, so to speak, in terms of our selection. So we don't have an enormous amount of Sydney beers here. We don't have an enormous amount of Melbourne beers here. So based on what's available here in Brisbane to buy, I think Brisbane beers are the best in Australia, if not the world.
Mm.
However,
I'm
not sure that we're getting a sampling of the other areas.
Yeah. I'd love to see some of the breweries do the old-fashioned sister breweries in a Sydney or Melbourne, where basically on tap in each, they basically trade off and have one of each in their takeaways. They support each other and do that sort of thing where they link up and actually grow each other's business as well.
Isn't Ethan or Range or something do something?
Well, Range opened up in Abbotsford down in Victoria. Yeah, so. Which is funny because when I first saw Range online, I thought they were a Melbourne brewery.
Yeah.
I was actually surprised they were from Brisbane because they just seemed very Melbourne-ish in their approach. Like lots of small batch hazy stuff. I'm like, that's a Melbourne thing.
And I think hipster.
Mm, exactly, yeah.
I know there's a bit of hate around at the moment for BrewDog, but they do that.
SpewDog.
Yeah. So they do it in the brewery.
Yeah.
They've got 2/3 of the taps are theirs, and then another third that are friends of BrewDog. Yeah. And they've got a handful of different breweries that supply for the taps.
Mm.
They've also got in the takeaway section a huge range of, I don't know if they're sister breweries, but they're working together to sell their stuff. Yeah. So I think it's a great way to get exposure across.
Yeah, and that's where the region. That those breweries could do better instead of having to open up another location, set it up where you do that sort of sister one. Geez, you could, put them on tap, takeaways, partner up a little bit more. And I think that's where you can grow your business without actually having to put as much investment into it.
Yeah. And advertise it.
Yeah.
How many people live in Melbourne and go, I love Black Hop stuff, but I can't get it anywhere on tap?
Yeah.
Advertise it on your website. Go, Black Ops, if you want it on tap, we can get it X, Y, and Z.
Yep.
Some breweries do it. Most don't.
They should pay you. You hear that, Black Ops? Woz is looking for a marketing gig. He wants six figures.
Just as a retainer, and I'll work my own hours. Actually, no. If I got six figures, I'd work for you full-time.
All right. So go clean the toilets.
So going back onto the beer,
yep,
thoughts here, guys?
It's a cracker.
Yeah, it really
are we actually scoring this as we normally do?
Yeah, we can do if you want.
Yeah. I can't see why not.
I think it's clean and crisp. It delivers really well on the particular flavors in an IPA that I really enjoy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm. So I think it's a cracker IPA.
Mm. Yeah. I really liked it. Clear, crisp. A nice punchy aroma at the start, and that really herby florally finish, which is, to me, that there is the definition of IPAs.
Yeah, and it hasn't gone all out to make it extra dank or extra fruity. It just made it
perfect,
well balanced,
simple.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
Again, but that's where I'm at in my journey, so I'm really looking for this. So there is a slight bias to, to where I'm at with it.
There's nothing wrong with that. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And as a concept, like if you want to be experimental, this is the base. To base it from, and then develop from there. This is that's where that comes in. Like,
but if this beer was available all the time in Brisbane, this would be my go-to every single 100%. Time.
That's your Alamo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And plus, again, it comes in. It's a 500ml bottle.
440.
Yeah, 500ml.
Yeah.
So it's a 500ml bottle. I'd grab a bunch of them, and that would be my go-to. I might get something else on the side, but I wouldn't get sick of that. It's a fantastic IPA.
Yeah.
But this, going back to your question that you always ask in terms of scoring, would you jump on a plane to go and get it?
I literally did, so.
Yeah. But in saying that, I would if I was Jeff Bezos.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, when I tried it years ago, like I think I waffled on about it before, but I even said to Russell, I'm pretty sure I ran back over like 20 minutes later and went, holy fuck, man, that was great.
Mm.
Yeah, like, that is seriously a really good beer.
Yeah.
And their IPAs can get lost in transit so easy.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not this one.
No. Russell's coat
pocket. On that Qantas flight. All the way back to Brizzy.
Yeah.
Scores.
Go, who's going first?
I reckon it's an 8.
Yeah, good.
For me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm tossing between an 8 and a 9. I'm going to go an 8 just for there's more beers to come.
Yeah. It'd be dangerous to bring the best one out first.
Yeah, Emily, this is the only beer here that I've actually tried before. So
so
the others are going to be pretty unbiased, aren't they?
Yeah.
So I want to leave a little bit of leeway, and I'm holding back on the half mark just for early on as well, so I'll give it an 8.
Because basically, if Brave was on the north side, I would drive over there.
Oh, Alex, without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah. So it's definitely definitely an 8 minimum. And I wouldn't leave it at Russell's place.
He'd go back for that one.
Yeah, it's definitely an 8.
Half marks, we've changed this scoring system so many times. I reckon when you're in primary school, your report card was like, Anthony does well in class, but struggles to follow the rules.
He doesn't like round numbers.
He gets a B.5. I do have some bias. I got some nostalgia because it's from my home sort of area, but yeah, I'm giving it a 9 because
I was waiting for a 10.
I was so close.
Yeah, I was like,
if I wasn't so self, wary of, just hometown bias, but it's closer. I'll give it.
Sounds like it probably should be a 9.5. Really,
get it out.
Well, give him this key. It should be a 9.6. I'm allowed to.
It's beerish, bro.
But yeah, I obviously love it. It's just such a refreshing beer.
So good.
I had a few of them while I was over there as well. And,
Australia is missing it.
Well, it was. I always grab a couple from the supermarket. I'll grab them for the dad, for my dad to share. Then I'll get home. Then I'll go out later and grab them like a 12 pack of Spates. I bought some beer for you, Dad. You giving us Spates? I'm having these. All right, so beer number 2 from the Kiwi packaging. Also, by the way, I had to smuggle these in the country. Don't ask me how I smuggled them.
They smell like poo.
You've got to take it too far. So this one is from Sawmill Brewing, as featured on the trip advice that I ignored. This is the Aotearoa IPA series, number 17, Hazy Rewaka. It says, load up with Rewaka. This IPA is a big, punchy grapefruit, passion fruit, and tropical aromas. So, I thought I'd try a bit of kiwi hops and something hazy. Yeah. I've had lots of, hazy since I've been here, and it's one of the few I could actually sort of find it around the place there.
And the can's a perfect size for a prison mullet as well. So.
I'm high-fiving that one. it looks good.
Really light colour, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a really light colour. Haze
is there.
Yeah, definitely hazy.
So Sawmill Brewing and Smoko Room.
So yeah, they are in, I think, Waipu, it's called.
That's a silly question. Children here.
Was it McLeod's? It's one of
Is it Matakana?
It's north Yeah, it might be right. I think McLeod's is...
Well, Google says Matacana.
That'll be it.
Yeah. 104 Lee Road, actually.
Yeah, we are splitting this four ways, so we've only got a little bit to share.
It's fine. That's all right.
More than you guys. Oops. Yeah, top up.
I won't say no.
It's got a nice hazy straw colour, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Cheers. Like, opposed to the Brave or the Tiger Milk to this one, obviously this is a hazy IPA. Mm. Similar. This is a bit more piney.
It's almost like a pineapple juice kind of colour.
Yeah. But yeah, cloudy pineapple. Not too cloudy though. Like it's,
yeah.
it's
so this is one I was tossing up with bring on the shows. Do we need another hazy in the show? I'd like to see where the New Zealand hazies are at and compared to what we get over here. So
without trying it, I hope they've got a distinct difference to the others.
Got a good smell about it.
Ooh. This beer reminds me of one thing.
What's that?
I don't like grapefruit.
One thing I do like is that hop oil at the end.
I keep trying.
It does have the sort of what sour bitter, like grapefruity kind of there.
But it goes.
But yeah, and it does. There's got the burst of freshness, and
it's nowhere near as bad as a lot of the grapefruit style beers.
It doesn't have that massive bitter finish.
Where
you're peeling your tongue off the top of your mouth. It's got that silky sort of. I like that. And it's not big and dank like other hazy IPAs.
Yeah, and it's not the big luxurious like mouthfeel like the one that's the Garrus Project and Monkish one before. It doesn't quite have that embodiment of a hazy, but it's just
the thick juice bomb.
There's a more subtle citrusy.
That's a refreshing change.
Yeah,
yeah,
it really is, to be honest.
It's not the big fruit burst. Like, it's the fruit's there without.
Yeah, we had a few hazies last night, and.
Right, after a while, everything was hazy.
Hazy, yeah. Even my vision.
Glass of water, that's very hazy.
Good night, though. But anyway, but this is a refreshing change. I thought it would have been a bit like, after the amount of hazies I had last night, it was like, I'd have that, that sickly when you have too many.
Yeah,
but this is great.
It's a very, it's a sessionable beer, I think. You could sit on, three or four quite easily.
Yeah, and was some of the hazies...
And not just for the import 60%. Purposes.
This is great. Keep going. Just slay him.
Longest plane ride I've ever had. Oh, my God.
Don't fart.
Don't sneeze.
I mean, the worst part...
Where's poor old Ross? Don't fart. So.
Worst part, you get to customs and you could have just put them in your bags. What? No. But my bag's full of cocaine. No, it's all right, don't worry.
Yeah, there's method to my madness. What happens is if the bag bursts figuratively on the beer, I just get drunk, not dead.
That's Ross's secret. Oh my God. You see him move around and hear this.
Ooh. I bet.
Oh, it's a bit. Ooh, poppy.
Whoa, that one's dank.
Oh, shit.
I bet. It's going a bit crude, but I bet there is someone out there.
We weren't there already.
I bet there's someone out there that's like, no, the best way to get alcohol in your system is up your ass.
It would be. I'd probably get a message this week just saying, is Russ okay?
If you don't get your measurements right, yeah.
It's a fine balance.
For friends like these, who needs an enema? Am I right?
Imagine that. They might be onto something.
A bananema.
Poor old man proudly bought you a beer enema.
Someone will pay $600 to get that done.
Yeah, if Range pulled out a special range of hazy enema style beers, they'll be sold out in hours.
Anyway, back to the beer.
That's good, easy drinking. Yeah, hazy IPA. Yeah, it's one that you could sort of go back to again and again. Whereas a lot of hazies, like bigger, fuller hot IPAs, you have one. Yeah, we want something lighter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this what a hazy should be?
I don't know.
Yeah. That's the funny thing, isn't it?
Mm.
Like, what is a traditional hazy IPA?
Mm.
Mm.
I don't know. It sounds like something for another podcast.
We'll delve into that one at a later time.
who do we go to?
I don't know, but for, I guess, hazies, I always refer to either mountain cultural ranges.
Well, given it's from like New England, I imagine Tom Brady has something to do with it.
Mm. Good arm.
Be a little bit flat if he did it, though.
Yeah, it'd be deflated. but yeah, so I enjoy it. It's solid, more than last week.
I just got that.
There we go. I'll edit it so it sounds like you got it straight away, Mike.
Like, he's the goat. What are you talking about? Then I get it now.
Not a Tom Brady fan, so I'll always go back to flat goat. Yeah.
Sorry, Ross.
Yeah, but I enjoy it. It's a,
what's he doing trying to do beer talk?
Try to wrap things up. I've got two more beers to go. Just simple, repeatable kind of hazy IPA, and I get it for 7, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Based on Tiger Milk, I'm going to give it a 6.
Hmm?
This one?
Hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. It's solid. But
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's one, if I saw it again, I probably would pick it up.
Yeah.
But then if there was Tiger Milk there, I'd get the Tiger Milk every day. So.
But then I'd pick up a lot of other standard hazies. First.
Yeah, like I'm gonna go a 7.
Mm.
Just because it's a refreshing change. Hazies get too carried away. Mm. But this was it was clean as crystal, it was punchy, and it had a good silky finish.
Mm.
Yeah. 7.
Yeah. I'm kind of at a 7 too. I think the things I like about it is it's fruity. But it's a little bit dry as well.
Mm.
There's just a subtle hint of dryness. It's, it really carries well, and it doesn't linger too long.
No,
it's just refreshing.
Yeah.
So I think it's a hazy done well.
Yeah.
Yep. Cool. All right. Let's move on. All right. So beer number 3 on our Kiwi taste exploration, I suppose. This is from Manga Tanaka. It's a Tui Export Pale Ale.
Where's it from?
Manga Tanaka? No, sure. Just kidding. It's not Tui. Goddamn. This is from Renaissance Brewing Company in Blenheim. It's their Stonecutter Scotch Ale. Now, my inspiration
us a guide where Blenheim is?
So Blenheim, good question. Taking questions from the floor. Blenheim is Marlborough, so around the winemaking, the main sort of winemaking area of New Zealand there, so top of the South Island.
So can you combine the two?
Yep. My inspiration for getting this was, I know we had the Black Ops Scotch Ale earlier in the year, don't mind a Scotch Ale, let's see how this one goes. It's also got a gold label there, so it's in the top 30 of the Beer and Cider Awards for New Zealand 2021. So
out of 30 beers.
hundreds. I was intrigued by it. It's the only Scotch Ale I saw over there, and the fact it was in the top 30, I thought, let's give it a crack. So,
nice.
Good enough.
Mm.
I hope it's steady.
Oh, look at that colour.
It's a biggie.
Colour.
Looks the part.
I don't know how we're doing with these pores here, but we'll soon see.
Oh, smells definitely there.
Colours there.
It's a very... It's almost like a brown ale, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a but very...
That red tint.
Yeah.
Very deep red sort of colour to it, isn't it?
Yeah, when holding it up to the light, you get a little bit of that sort of redness coming through.
Oh, that's a...
Fuck me. I don't know. I'm a bit nervous. Like, I don't want to drink it and hate it.
Mm.
But this is like kicking some goals already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's got an amazing smell.
Yeah.
It really does.
What about the beer?
Get your armpits away from me.
It wasn't his armpits.
It's I yeasty. I forgot to put deodorant on this morning.
In that case, his deodorant smells like shit.
Get right in there. Oh. fuck.
Put that nose right in there. Yeah.
That's what she said.
Yeah. I've got the perfect glass for it, though.
There's a real sort of sweetness to the aroma. Like, is this...
Have you tried it yet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
like fucking Christmas right now.
Oh.
All right, here we go.
That is good.
Oh. Wow, that's...
Mm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Malt.
Yeah, lots of malt. It's... Let's just check what... It seems to taste very boozy, well, more boozy than what it actually is.
No, it is boozy. It's 7%.
It's 7%. Yeah, but it tastes more than that. This is tasting more higher than that.
I'm a fan.
But it's just got that sticky, sweety, malt kind of toffee. And it kind of comes through and it gives you that little bit of like hot burn coming through. And
there's actually a little bit of a smokiness on the finish.
There is, yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely.
But it's not burnt and linger.
No.
So it was on the side of the can. So 9 malts are blended to produce layers of caramel, toffee, licorice, chocolate, and roasty flavors, balanced by a tart, raisiny fruitiness that gives way to a lingering dry finish.
I don't get any of that.
No.
We got the toffee.
The toffee.
The toffee.
We got smokiness, which
the caramel, that's not the sweetness there. Yeah. I'm not getting any chocolate or licorice at all. Yeah. Warm, rich, and full bodied. Stone cut appears well with any hearty red meat dish. Sorry, I only got kiwi dip, sorry, fellas. We'll try it with a creme brulee. I'm all out of brulee. I've got cream, but.
We'll get kiwi dip.
Cream. Well, kiwi dip brulee, there we are.
Yeah.
We could actually.
Or you can pair it with Scottish shortbread.
Or something like
yeah.
Cheers to the brewer, Andy Ducher.
Nice hearty stew.
I reckon if this was 9%, it'd be terrible.
I should have read this at the start. This handcrafted ale is best enjoyed at 10 to 13 degrees.
Oops. Yeah, you meant to drink it earlier.
Yeah, probably should have left that on the fridge for a while. But anyway.
And say that, it's pretty damn good cold.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
My only criticism is the level of carbonation.
Mm.
Yeah.
I feel like it could just be just a touch more.
Yeah, it wasn't much of a head, will it?
No, because that head's disappeared on all of us. Just, a little bit of that, I guess, creaminess from the head to...
Maybe a nitro. Imagine that. Could you do a Scotch ale? Do they do barley wines on nitro? I don't
think they've ever had that. Didn't we put that forward at one point on an episode? We're talking about do a barley wine on nitro.
I think so.
Yeah. I think that has come up. We've posed a question, but no one answered it.
Do you know what I think the problem would be is if you made that a nitro, do you know what it would be?
No.
A Kilkenny.
I didn't even think of that. What happened to Kilkenny?
They're still around.
Oh,
yeah.
I actually tried one this year for the first time in about 10 years, and I actually went, that's better than I gave it credit for.
Mm. Yeah, Kilkenny.
I prefer Caffrey's over Kilkenny. I really like Caffrey's, but it just wasn't as popular.
Mm. Actually, I had a Boddington's.
Oh, yeah.
Not long ago. Mm. I mean, I used to love the shit. And then I went, a bit lackluster now.
Yeah.
Sad.
It's a quality thing, I think. Over time, you kind of, especially what we're doing, we're actually trying really good quality ingredients in these beers.
Yeah.
And then you go back to some of those classics and you go, okay, I can see it now.
Yeah. It's sad. Isn't
yeah.
It?
Yeah. Yeah. It is. It's disappointing.
Mm. That's why I probably got so excited about Snark.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the problem with the mass produce aspect, though, is to mass produce, you got to have the cheaper, simpler, easier to get ingredients.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And the canary in the coal mine for me for that is Newcastle Brown Ale. I love Newcastle Brown Ale, but every time I go back to it now, it's just getting worse and worse and just watered down version of what it used to be.
Is it better than the one we had last night?
It used to be.
Did you try
it? It's not anymore. It doesn't have the same level of flavour as what we had last night.
Right. Have you tried Brown Town from Rebel?
Yes. It's pretty good.
Yeah, actually, that's pretty good. Yeah.
I know, it's a very disturbing name.
I was waiting for something more. Everyone hold back. Anyway, this is not bad.
This is a really good drop. I really like it. It's just
that malty flavour, that light spoky peat finish.
Mm.
Like this is a Scotch Ale 101. If it was 9%, it'd be too much, I reckon. Yeah. Like, it'd just be overpowering.
It tastes 9%.
I reckon if it was 9%, that super boozy, I'd be like, you know what I mean? I think it's gone a bit too far.
It'd have that more burn, and it just
the smoky finish won't be smoky. It's smoky burnt finish.
It's a bad sharing beer. Like, we split this can 4 ways. Like, this is one you put it in your glass and you sit there and kind of sip away and enjoy for a while. Just
late evening and just let it sit there and warm up and
absolutely round by like a fire pit or something outside or whatever. Yeah. Just sitting with that
and have the flavors change as it warms. Mm. Yeah.
What did they say, 10 to 13 degrees?
Yeah.
So you'd have to have it warm. Like, you'd just have to.
Just leave it out.
You'd have to have it artificially warmed in New Zealand to enjoy it.
Yeah, you'd probably stick it in the microwave.
Leave it on top of the fire.
Probably take it out of the metal can first. But,
Or, as we discussed earlier, put it in special wallets.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That'll warm it up pretty quick.
Put on your mantelpiece.
Well, we normally have a couple of sheep right next to it, so you just stick it under one of your sheep and they'll warm it up, and you just got to take the lanolin off it.
I can't believe that's the first sheep joke we've made.
I can't believe I'm the one that had to make it.
That's hilarious. Oh, fuck. We were dicks at ass. We could have stuck the
shit. It's the low hanging fruit. It's sort
it
of,
was,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was the easy one.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Oh, here we go. Bottoms down.
Yeah, no, I really enjoy that. That's
in terms of Scotch ale. Yeah.
It's a good Scotch ale. Yeah.
Again, it's one of them ones that people can easily fuck too.
Yeah.
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 And that's why probably there's not a lot of them because they don't want to risk the biscuit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. And how do you feel it on this versus the Black Ops one?
I prefer this.
Yeah, so, I think I prefer this one as well.
I was going to actually say this is the best Scotch ale I've had.
Yeah.
So the Black Ops was very smooth, but I think I prefer it not being smooth.
Yeah.
Because this is just, just a bit sort of like...
The malt and smokiness.
Yes. The flavour just presents itself a bit more, and it's just like, just give you a couple of little nudges of it. And,
there's malt forward.
Yeah, yes.
Like, that was the first thing.
Mm.
Yeah.
Which, if you like that in a beer, you can't just go and get it.
Yeah.
That's the sad thing about this episode, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like,
the convenience of it. This is like a one.
That's exactly right.
Pony, But it's okay. We're number one in New Zealand, so.
Absolutely.
All you guys over there, fuck yous.
Yeah, you can just go down the road and get this
exactly right.
I'll go down
So jealous right now.
This is almost like the beer equivalent of going to the strippers.
Waiting for the link. I'm intrigued. So everyone at home, sit down, relax, let Uncle Wazza tell you a story.
That's creepy as shit.
Well, you walk out at the end with a fat and fuck all to do.
More like you currently, you're left holding it in your hand.
Yeah, exactly. On that note,
hey, give it a score.
Oh, no, he's going to kick it off.
Kick it off.
Yeah, again, malt forward. It was a good colour, rich flavour. Yeah. Had a good light smoky peat finish.
It does get better with warmth.
Yeah, it did. I noticed that too. Like the depth was getting more ingrained. I suppose is the way to do it. Man, New Zealand doing well. I'm giving you an 8.
8.
Yeah.
My toss up as a Scotch ale. Really, really good. I think it's definitely an 8.
Hang on. Is there going to be a half mark here?
No. I'm committing to this episode not doing a half mark. And the sole reason is because it's a Kiwi episode, so it's close to Russ's heart. I'm going to restrain him.
Restrain and respect.
Yeah. Whatever it is. Yeah. Do I enjoy this one more than I enjoyed Tiger Milk? No. I would pick up the Tiger Milk first. I think I've got to give it the same score.
Yep.
Just because it is the best Scotch ale I've had.
It's very good quality, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And can tell. So it seemed harsh giving it a 7, so I think I've got to give it an 8. But I think the Tiger Milk, personally, I would go back to the Tiger Milk.
Yep. Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Probably 9 times out of 10. Yeah, that 10th time, I'd still like to pick this up and have another crack of it.
Mm.
Well said.
Yeah. For me... See, what's messing with me is I think I scored the Black Ops one, like 5 out of 5. And on a 10-point scale, I probably wouldn't have got a 10 out of 10, I don't think.
No.
The
Black Ops would have been a 7.
It would have been an 8 or a 9 or something for me. And so this one, again, compare it to the Tiger Moon. Would I pick it over the Tiger Moon? I don't know. It's bears for different occasions.
Correct. Yeah, it's like comparing Rams to Prados.
I would go to the shops and I'll grab a 4-pack, whatever, of the Tiger Moon and grab one of these. And that's I'll have them together.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, just have a nice, simple go, a couple of session bears with the Tiger Moon and then finish off the night with one of them. So I'll probably give it a 9. I was close to giving it 8, but then you know what? No, that's just a really, really good beer.
Did you give the Tiger Milk a 9?
I gave it a 9 as well. Yeah.
I was actually nearly on a 9. That's a big score, but definitely an 8.
Yeah. I was very close to 8. I didn't change my mind at the end.
That's good though. I'll go to someone giving it a 9.
Yeah.
I'm.
Don't smoke it, Wazza. Come on, stay up there with us.
No, I'm basing it. I'm not basing it against the other beers.
Yeah,
because I don't think that's fair to it, and that's true. Don't think I've graded those beers based on that either.
Mm-hmm.
I'm basing it based on Scotch ales.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good.
And for me, The only, my only criticism, as I said before, was the carbonation. And that doesn't take away from when you let it warm up, it's kind of perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And that carbonation level. So for me, I'm grading it on its own, and for me, it's a 9.
Yep.
Well done.
Cool.
Yeah. I think it's a cracker of a beer. It's well done. It's Moorish. Like you could sit there, let it warm up, and enjoy one or two cans on a nice cold evening,
absolutely.
And really get stuck into it. So
the ones you just be sitting there, like just the aroma is just amazing aroma on it. You could just sit there, just hold the glass up to your nose, just have a good like sniff of it for a bit. Oh, I can smell it. Trying, where the hell's that licorice gone? Yeah. There's chocolate in there. No. But no, it's just an amazing beer.
Mm. It's hard to find a beer that's so malt forward, though.
Yeah.
Like that. Mm. Yeah, and I think that's the
hook. Malt forward, but still balanced.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think that's what this one does well, is so many of the ones that do the malt, they lose something in it and just doesn't work.
It's like that red ale I think we had from Happy Valley.
Oh, the last season. Staffordshire Red, yeah.
Yeah, like it was very malt forward, then it was malt forward, then nothing. Mm. You know what I mean? Even though it's a different beer.
Yeah.
But that was perfect. Yeah.
And I think that's what I enjoyed about the first Scotch ale, the one that Black Ops did, was that it was just, it's purely about the malt.
Yeah.
But in a balanced way.
Mm.
And I think this just kind of just tops it again. Yeah. Yeah, really, really quite enjoyable.
Yeah. Cool.
Well done.
One more beer to go. All right, final beer on our Kiwi special here. This is another hometown hero for myself from the wonderful Hawke's Bay. This is Braunhilde's Fate.
That's very loving.
Yeah, it was. a bit of snuggles there from Woz. So Braunhilde's Fate is a Roche beer. I don't know how to say that. It's a smoky lager from Zalant Brewery. These guys are, as I said, they're just outside of Napier and Hawke's Bay there. Really interesting brewery. They kind of focus more on the like European style beers. Nice. They do like Hell's Lagers. I had, like I said, their Schwartz beer as well. A lot of like Belgian and German
spot. It's kind of like a Helios
over here. Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. They're very much like some of the Helios style. And even the tell by their labels, it's very sort of like European Gothic style labels. Yeah.
I love the design.
I said that too when I seen it.
Yeah, and all their labels are like that as well. They got a couple, not European obviously, but like American pale ales and that sort of stuff. And
but if you saw that in the bottle shop, you'd think it'd be imported from Germany or Belgium.
Yeah,
that'd be your first thought. And
Again, all these, these guys are very highly regarded here, so I'm hoping this is a cracker as well. So,
I'm interested to try this because, side note, Happy Valley have released a Rock Rorsch beer.
Yeah.
They've released that yesterday, which I was planning on picking up on the way home, so I can compare them and see sort of how it goes.
Very interesting.
So Happy Valley have just released a Rorsch beer yesterday, which I was planning on picking up on my way home.
Yep.
So I'm interested to compare the two and sort of see how this one might compare.
Yep. Excellent. Well,
it'll be good
timing.
Feedback for next episode.
Have you ever had a smoked lager before?
I don't think a smoked lager. So I had the Stone beer recently, but I don't think that's a lager. It's a smoked something.
That's a smoked porter or something like that.
I don't know. It's not that dark. It's more like a smoked pale.
Well, a little fun fact. Smoked beers are traditionally made in Germany. A lager is brewed with malted barley that has been dried over an open flame, imparting varying levels of rich smoky flavor to a beer base. Origins go back to the 16th and 17th century when it's simply easier to dry the malt barley over a fire.
Fair enough.
Makes sense.
Mm.
In Germany, where it's colder shit a lot of the year.
And I think it's sort of fitting. Like, if you look at the brewery, the traditional way they're doing stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting. I don't know if it says it on the back, but it'd be interesting if they'd done something similar. Or they've just taken a shortcut and...
You'd hope not. Like, if you're going to do it right.
Do it properly.
So, you want the back. So, Braunhilde's Fate was brewed in collaboration with Small Gods, the brewing division of Beer Delivery Experts Beer Jerk. The team are extremely passionate about investigating historic styles, and most of all, they love to collaborate with equally passionate people. Rochbier is a German lager style that has a distinctive smoke character by using beechwood smoked barley.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it...
So, and actually, it's got a little stick on there, true to style as intended.
That's pretty cool. That's
good.
That's pretty cool.
It has that German beer smell, but there is a smokiness to it. Yeah. Like there's,
oh, yeah. It's, yeah. Like, it's like a... Oh, what's that? It's like almost like smoked meats, kind of smoked bacon, kind of...
I was going with like hickory wood.
I could see it if you were sitting in a German beer hall and someone was cooking over an oak lime and you were sitting back having a beer.
Weirdly.
Smelling the beer and smelling the smoke and stuff like that.
That's... Weirdly, what this reminds me of, like, I picked this up from a bottle shop in Napier and I walked in and like the bottle shop smelled like smoky. That's a bit weird. They had like a fireplace in the middle of the bottle shop.
That's kind
of cool. And so the whole place just smelt of like smoke and stuff like that. And so smell of this reminds me of the bottle shop that I brought it from.
Oh, wow.
Wow, yeah.
Have you tasted it yet?
Yeah.
Wow. That was interesting.
You smoked meat.
Wow.
Reference.
Yeah.
There's...
It's the smoked bacon kind of...
Yeah.
It's almost like a jerky. Like a smoked jerky style and flavour.
I was going with, you're making out with a smoking chick on one night. Like one of the piss. Yeah, and you can taste that ashtray.
To be fair, it's never tasted that good.
Yeah. No, no. I've got to go.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not that one. Well, because it's smoky, but it doesn't have that that ashy, the ashy burnt dries at the end. Like, it's
that was a bit rough.
It's just got that sweet...
it's just
just harbouring that flavour is impressive though.
Yeah.
Wow. And it's a lager.
Yeah. Like this is one that I didn't know what to expect. Like I brought this and the other Zeland beer, the Schwartz beer at the same time. I wasn't sure which one to come back to the pod, how this would go. Because you never know is it going to be overly smoked, under smoked, But that's some
even the colour of it, like you look at traditional lagers. Like, this is, like, for everyone at home. We're looking on the borderline of a pale ale type distinct colour.
It's just...
That, what do we call it? That caramel, translucent, crisp, clear colour.
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
I'm surprised.
I think that's
more... It's because it's something new. I haven't had a style of beer like this.
Yeah.
And so to have like a new experience and just,
it's huge, a pleasant surprise too, where a lot of times the surprises with these beers you get and you feel really let down.
Yeah.
This is a really pleasant, it's just that smokiness. Like,
funny, after coming off the back of the Stone beer from Stone and Wood, I felt the smokiness became too much about halfway through the bottle.
Yeah.
Yep.
Whereas I don't get that vibe from this.
No, it's good. It's well done. Mm. And it's a lager.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like a malt forward again. Lager with a smoky finish. Not like the Scotch Ale. It doesn't obviously have the booze in it. And it's slightly different. But just such a clean, crisp sort of body.
I'm really keen to try the Happy Valley and see how it holds up.
Yeah.
In comparison to it.
Mm. Especially like...
Is it unfair to score this?
Hard for it to stand up against this just because...
Like to other styles of it? Or do we measure it towards it'd be
interesting, because I'd love to know from Happy Valley how they've gone about doing the smoked lager. Have they done a traditional style? Have they done something some other way? Because also these guys, they put on the label, it's true to style. Right? Yeah.
Which is worth bulk points.
Mm. I think... So Happy Valley Brewing's right next door to Billy's Meats.
If
you know Billy's Meats in Brisbane, then you know like how incredible they are at producing good quality like barbecue meats. And that's their life. So I think they've done it in collaboration, so they've used a lot of that charcoaling process through it. I'd be keen to find out exactly how they've gone about it.
Not saying they wouldn't do it in a proper way. There's different approaches you can take to producing a beer like this.
It does come down to the quality of the grains and all sorts of things in the hops that you pick for it as well.
It's like just I haven't had a sip for a bit. Like just there's just like little bits of almost like cherry. Like there's a little bits of like fruitiness that are coming through the back of my throat. Like it's just,
I think that's the surprising part for a lager that made it interesting.
So if it was built on
it's like Christmas.
If it's built on just a regular lager, then whatever smoke they've put in there, it just brought out so much flavour in the smoke. Like it's,
and I think it is definitely a German lager style.
Which is interesting too. But this was delicious.
If you're gonna, I mean, this is the difficult part about scoring it. Do you score it as a lager? Or do you score it as a rock beer?
I think you just score it as a tasting beer experience. Well, like, yeah. This, no, again, I've never
let's go back to a scale. If you're Jeff Bezos, would you jump on a plane?
If no, well, yes, because that's the only way I can get one. So
that's true. But probably not. I wouldn't do that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm glad I tried it.
But so when I'm back in Hawke's Bay, would I go out of my way to try and find this? I probably will, but unfortunately, it is also a limited edition. So
I wouldn't leave this one at someone's house.
Yeah.
But I would also, if had another person that was into craft beer, I'd love to take it to them
to show so yeah.
They could try it yes. as well, just yep. because it is. It tastes great. But just the limited nature of it as well is just an experience in itself.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Well, you got to sort of rate it on that, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I wanted, go back and sit on, grab it, do it, and when I come back, do I tell Chris I have this in my fridge? I probably wouldn't. I'll just mention, I had one of them, would have drank it.
I tried that, it was pretty cool. Yeah. I'll be like, oh,
yeah. You got either the Tiger Milk or the smoked lager? No. DB Expo Golf.
That's interesting. Good moldy start. That smokiness through it, which is a pleasant thing, but that clean, crisp lager finish.
Yeah,
it's really interesting. I'm going straight out. I'm giving it a 6. Again, an 8 is a big score, but I'm only giving it a 6 in comparison. I can't really compare it to anything. There's no waiting on nothing else. But I wouldn't leave it at Russell's place. I'd love to share the experience with someone. So that makes it greater than a 5, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I reckon a 6 is just a good score because it was pleasant.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a tennies. A shit tennies.
I'm gonna give it an 8.
Yeah?
Purely around the experience, the uniqueness, the creativeness, but also the traditional approach.
That I didn't think of that. Yeah, I'm changing my score. I'm serious. I'm going to go 7, though.
Yeah.
I think it's standalone, it's difficult to score it, but I kind of think, would I pick one up again? Yeah, I would. Would I take it over and give it? Would I share it with someone as an experience? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Is it good quality? Is it enjoyable? It ticks a lot of boxes there, so I think it's an 8 its own without trying any other.
That is a really good way.
And that's it. And it's potentially a fluctuating score if there is more opportunities to try other versions of this style.
Yeah,
I think you're right with the 8 with all the boxes it ticks.
We enjoyed the experience.
Yeah.
That's the first one. And again, remember, that's a lager.
And it's something if. Catching up with another person who's into craft beer is one that I would talk about with them. Whereas potentially the other beers may slip through the cracks, but this one I would definitely talk about with someone else.
I think I struggle to enjoy German beer flavor profiles. Like, I think about every time I go to Munich Brauhaus or any of those, or the Bavarian. The beers they've got on tap, I'm like, I guess I'll drink it if I have to because it's 7% and it'll fuck me up. Like, I don't enjoy drinking it. So yeah. I think this in comparison, though, I think is a really enjoyable version of that.
It's funny because this is definitely a great beer to, you pick one of these up and share with people, and then that's kind of exactly what I did. So it's fit for purpose for that. Like, it's kind of why I end up bringing this one back with me rather than the other one, because this is something different. It's something that we've never had on a show. I've never really tried before, seen around the place. So it's definitely a great beer for literally show and tell. Like, guys, you got to have a look at this. It's really enjoyable. Like I said, I can just taste bacon in the back of my throat now.
I felt like I've eaten a barbecue.
It's hard to separate from, like, the Tiger Milk and the Stonecutter Scotch Ale. I'll probably go an 8 as well, but it's almost there. Like, it's
they're all very good in their own way.
For different reasons.
Mm.
But no, it's definitely one. If for some reason this turned up on a shelf somewhere, I'm there. If
just to pay respect.
Yeah. Like, if Harry Brown's at Eaton's Hill saying, "Hey, we just got a card on this one," I'm leaving now to grab some.
Yeah.
And it would be the same with, like, Tiger Milk as well. And
it's funny too, because this one I could let's sit in there and just sit for a while and see whether that age actually changed it as well.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what we should do? We should put that on that toxic website. Insane. Look at this. This is an absolute cracker. Tell me I'm wrong and just let everyone blow.
This is the best smoked lager I've ever had. And someone will post a picture of a banana pastry stout. Now, this is better.
Fuck it, let's do it.
I tried the sea legs smoked jalapeno sour and it was great. Yes, you're right, it is smoked. Well done. Yes.
You haven't smoked jalapeno, all right, you douchebag.
Overall, what was the winning New Zealand beer?
For me, it was a Scotch ale.
It's a tough one. Tiger Milk's probably the winner just because I would drink that all day, every day.
Yep.
As an experience, the Scotch Ale and the smoked lager are definitely one-off.
You have to do it.
Yeah, one-off every now and then. Yeah. Definitely try them, and particularly in the cool weather. But the one that I'd pick up, all day, every day, would be the Tiger Milk.
Yep.
And I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny, the old sawmill come up nowhere, didn't it?
No.
It got lost in transit a bit, though.
Well, yeah, and also, it's, of course, you know, it's a hazy IPA and a sea of hazy IPA. And, you know, although it's good in its own right, it just doesn't
work. It was a welcome change. Yeah, we've got to pay it homage.
Yeah.
And I think, like, in its own right, it really stands up well.
Yeah, absolutely.
It just unfortunately came up against three other titans.
And it came up with, you know, especially two styles of beer that we don't get a lot of. And so, you know, we enjoy it a lot. So for me, my favourite... be Tiger Milk. I just because like the Scotch Ale and the smoked lager, they are roller coasters. Like I jump with them, have a thrill ride. That's exciting. I love it. But it's still, I drive home in a nice, comfy car.
Yeah.
And I choose the Tiger Milk as my car. Drive me home. That's what I drive to work. I drive there every single day. Yeah. I still remember how fun the roller coaster was. I like to go on there one again sometime, but I'll still take the car.
I like the reference. Yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely Tiger.
Yeah.
Like, I've had it before. Like, it was biased, man. I tried to stay out of that. But don't get me wrong. The Scotch Ale.
I'm saying, like, it's been a while since I've finished my my smoked lager there, and I'm still tasting it. It just hangs with you. It's fantastic, like, you know, flavour in the back of the mouth there.
That's the thing, I think, too, that it doesn't... It's still there, but it's not overpowering, and it's not one where you start going, oh, yuck. I need a drink of water or something to get rid of it. It's just like, wow.
Overall, New Zealand beers, look out Australia.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
It's like I said at the start, like the focus seems to be doing like simplicity well. It's just well-refined versions of, you know, good styles. Aussie, you have, you know, Garage Project doing like weird stuff, making blue beer and pickle beer and all that sort of stuff. But your other, you know, smaller breweries are just focused on just, you know, quality ingredients, quality beers, and just a really refined experience.
And that's the thing, when you look at it, as far as traditional, we've had an old school IPA, basically, an old school Scotch Ale,
very old school.
Very old school German lager, basically, and then a hazy. So three out of four are old traditional styles.
Yeah.
So
I've still got in the fridge as for personal consumption. I've got a Baltic Porter from Sawmill, so I'll let you know how that one goes. I was going to bring either that or the other Sawmill, and now I'm keeping the Baltic Porter for myself. So I'll give you tasting notes on that one later.
That Baltic Sawmill would have been too much there.
Everything else, I think it's funny. Nice balance
between. I was trying to round off what I had on my suitcase to bring back to me. I was in the New World supermarket, and I had the Stone Cotter and I had the Baltic Porter in my hands. I don't know which one do I take. And I thought, well, I'll just buy both, duh. Take them both. Because the boat, and yeah, the other one's got the top 30 New Zealand badge on it as well. So it's clearly a good beer. So,
yeah, I think. It's very rare as well that we have a podcast where all the beers are great and all of them were.
Well, we've gone well over time today once again. It's been thoroughly enjoyable. Thank you for enjoying the Kiwi beers with me and sharing this experience. I mean, the good old Kiwi dip as well.
Thank you.
Real good. Good thing. Like, thanks, Russell, for that. That was really good, mate.
Yeah. And that's about all we've got time for. I've been Russell.
I've been Anthony.
Are we getting paid yet?
Oh, Chris.
We haven't told you, have we? This is completely volunteered.
Yeah, it's a charity.
Do it for the love, not the money.
We've been the Poor and Old Men. We'll catch you next time.